Art, the way the American women have played in this tournament seems to have inspired a lot of unexpected interest.
It's been a lot of fun. I think a lot of people who would not otherwise have paid attention have been really captivated because of the drama around each of these games. The Women's World Cup has not been won by the U.S. since 99, and now they're in the championship game Sunday. And the spectacle of the U.S. in the championship, regardless of sport, is always a big deal. And I think the personalities and the abilities of these people like Abby Wambach, who's the only holdover from the 99 team, is a great figure. You know, those two headers, there was a tweet, somebody said, I wonder if her head can get a sneaker contract. And I think that's, you know, the two goals that beat Brazil and France were very dramatic. And Wambach is a great figure in the transition between the old 99 team of rock stars and this new team that people are getting used to.
Of course, the 99 team had names we know, Mia Hamm, Brandi Chastain, Julie Foudy. Hope Solo is certainly one of the names on this year's team. But let's talk a little bit more broadly about back in 99 when the U.S. women won the World Cup, and talk is surfacing again now about how this might translate into something more for women's soccer.
I'm not sure that's going to happen yet. There is a women's professional soccer league. It's floundering. I don't think there's much spectator interest in it. It tends to happen that the biggest spectacles draw the most attention, which are World Cups and Olympics. But this sustained interest in a sports season really takes a lot of passion, a lot of time, and the aficionados are much smaller than those who would join in a big national celebration like what we're seeing with the Women's World Cup. But the long, slow, steady growth is the answer, and the Sounders are certainly a part of that. Locally, nationally, it's still going to take a while.
So Hope Solo is certainly one of the reasons why a lot of people are interested in watching the American women throughout this World Cup tournament. Let's talk a little bit more about her as a player and a person. She was born in Richland, Washington. She was a star at the University of Washington.
Right. She was there from 99 to 2003. She was a four-time All-Pac-10 goalkeeper, even though she played her youth as a forward. Hope has always been an independent thinker. I remember being in Beijing for the Summer Olympics in 2008 when, after she shut out Brazil and won the Olympic gold medal with a 1-0 victory, rather than join her teammates on the sidelines, Hope reached around to a kit she had next to the goalpost, took out the cell phone, and called her brother back in the States to celebrate with him rather than the teammates. So there's that independent streak of thinking and doing that has always marked her career. And I tend to salute her for it. Got her in trouble in 2007 when she criticized Brianna Scurry, then the goalkeeper for the U.S. national team, who lost 4-0. And Hope was admonished, banished from future games, got into a big dispute with the coach and some of the teammates who thought she shouldn't have said what she said about Scurry. Eventually, the coach resigned. Pia Sundhage from Sweden was hired to coach the team. She has a great relationship with Hope Solo. Hope had a very difficult time in that 2007 World Cup because her father, who was a Vietnam War vet who sometimes was homeless but was nevertheless a big backer of her athletic career, died in June of 07. And so the personal tumult was high. And I think she grew a lot through that to the point where she's now at 29, the premier goalkeeper in the world and really the heart and soul of what's happening with the U.S. Women's World Cup team.
All right, Art, thanks.
My pleasure.
KPLU sports commentator Art Thiel joins us every week at this time. His website is Sports Press Northwest at sportspressnw.com. And you can download Sports with Art Thiel and other KPLU commentaries at kplu.org. I'm Kirsten Kendrick.